Praise the Lord. So good to be in his house. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 25. The time had come when Paul the Apostle, now a prisoner, found himself aboard a ship headed for Rome. Paul had appealed to Caesar, and now the voyage to Rome begins. To give context, we pick it up at verse 1. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul. And they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore he said, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him." And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Well, he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all." But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" So Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go." The rest of chapter 25 and 26 play out. Paul, before King Agrippa, because it seemed unreasonable to send a prisoner and not specify the charges against him. Paul is permitted to speak, and he lifts his voice and he tells of his early life. He recounts his glorious conversion and testifies of his post-conversion life. Post-conversion life. Different than pre-conversion life. Unlike pre-conversion life. Paul the Apostle, this great apostle of the Lord, this great man of God, a man obedient to the heavenly vision. Acts 26, 19 to 23, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." And now, Agrippa parries Paul's challenge. He wards off the weapon, the blow. He evades with a clever answer. Verses 24 to 32, now, As he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad. That is out of my mind, most noble Festus. But speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor, Bernice, and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, "This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains." Then Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." You know, Paul wasn't out of his mind. Words of truth and reason. Agrippa, these words should grip you. You know, this moment, this is your moment in time. Agrippa says to Paul, "You almost persuade me." Almost. "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." Well, it was found and it was determined, it was decided that this man is doing nothing. Nothing deserving of death or chains. But Paul, being a Roman citizen, had appealed to Caesar. Voyage. This was no pleasant one. And yet, what of pleasant ones that do not play out as planned? It was time to make the journey, to embark on the voyage. It was time for sailing. Time to head to Rome. And so the voyage begins. They delivered Paul and some of the other prisoners to a centurion, and entering a ship, put out to sea. Smooth sailing, contrary winds. But they make it to the city of Myra. And now the centurion finds an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy and puts Paul and the others on board. Track with me, we're going to get there. Tell us of the journey, Paul. Acts 27, 7 and 8. "When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone, passing it with difficulty. Passing it with difficulty, we came to the place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia." Are we even going to make it to Rome during this message? Probably not, because there's a stop to make. And it's there that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to us today. You know, Paul was no rookie. Paul was no novice when it came to the sea. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 25 to 28. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Three shipwrecks. And 2 Corinthians written before Acts 27. Acts 27, 9 to 12. Now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Man, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster. It will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable to winter, and the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there." Paul's warning. Man, I perceive. The NIV reads, "Man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." The Message paraphrase, Paul warned, "I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, to say nothing of our lives if we put out to sea now." The Amplified, "Man, I sense after careful thought and observation that this voyage will certainly be a disaster and with great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." Another footnote says, "Sailing in the Mediterranean was dangerous for ancient ships after the second week of September and virtually impossible after November 11. So now there was no hope of reaching Italy before winter. Nevertheless, the persuasion of the helmsman and the owner of the ship and the advisement of the majority. What do we see here? We see the warning of a perceptive man. The warning of a perceiver. The warning of a senseful man. The warning of an experienced man. The warning of a godly man. And isn't this how it often is? Verse 13. "When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete." What are you talking about, Paul? The south wind, it's blowing softly. The Message, "When a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor, thinking it would be smooth sailing." Phillips' New Testament, "So when a moderate breeze sprang up, thinking they had obtained just what they wanted, they weighed anchor and coasted along." Take note. Take notes, a man with three shipwrecks under his belt, you know, but what does he know? This perceiver, this wise man, no rookie, no novice, this experienced man puts out a warning, three shipwrecks under his belt, but what does he know? We read on, reading from the Message. They were no sooner out to sea than a gale force wind, the infamous nor'easter, struck. They lost all control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. We came under the lee of the small island named Cauda and managed to get a lifeboat ready and reef the sails. But rocky shoals prevented us from getting close. We only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. Next day, out on the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provisions. It had been many days since we had seen either sun or stars. Wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. The New King James Version, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. How many helmsmen, how many owners of ships choose nevertheless at the warning of a man like Paul? Even the majority, sometimes the majority advise otherwise. You know, all I have to say is thank God they had Paul with them. Verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, the Amplified records seasickness and stress. The Message paraphrase, appetite for both food and life long gone. A long time without food. But I like the Wycliffe Bible. And when much fasting had been, then Paul stood in the middle of them and said, listen, we know the manner of the man. Whatever the reason for the abstinence from food, can't you see Paul seizing the opportunity? And when much fasting had been, verses 21 to 26, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Run aground? Another nevertheless? Same response to Paul. Would it be so? You know, here's Paul having been ignored. His previous warning, ignored. Here's Paul and his sight, his sense, his perception and observation proven right. And yet here's Paul urging these men to take heart, to take courage. Yeah, they should have listened, but we're in it now. May the will of the Lord be done. Last today, ever been there? Out at sea, having lost all hope because of a Nevertheless, Spirit, when one wise warned against the voyage. And yet, here is the very one, the man or the woman, or the one, the Lord, speaking to you, saying, take heart. Take courage. Paul lifts his voice. Take heart. Take courage. There will be no loss of life among you, only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And this is what was said. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. You see, the will of God, it will happen. God will get the man to Rome. There is no doubt. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Incredible. And I wonder if Paul asked for them. Verses 27 to 32. First, let's back up 25 and 26. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. You know, I just like to say, perhaps the Spirit would speak in this manner today. It's time to heed the voice of Paul. It's time to cast the nevertheless Spirit overboard. Anyone in the house with a nevertheless Spirit? It's time to heed the warning. Verses 27 to 32. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were drawn near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed, that is, wished for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let her fall off. Stay with Paul. Stay in the ship. The ship must run aground. Don't try and escape. It's your only hope of salvation. It's your only hope of saving. Verses 33 to 38. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment. For this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Cast your bread upon the waters. I urge you to take nourishment. This is for your survival. Well, I know the Spirit's speaking today. Well, the time had come. The time had come. The ship must run aground. The ship must run aground on an island. Any old island? No, no, no. Paul said we must run aground on a certain island. Verses 39 to 44, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go, that is, cast off the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, a reef, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Shipwrecked. Not on any old island. Not on some island. On a certain island. Shipwreck. Number four. Acts 28:1. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, an island in the Mediterranean, lying between Africa and Sicily, now called Malta. Its name means honey. An island. This island, this certain island. Remember, the Lord said, Paul, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Oh, he'll get to Rome. But how about we make a stop on a certain island? Shipwreck. A shipwreck. Shipwrecked on a certain island called Malta. I want to ask today, have you been on a journey, ever been on a journey, are on a journey, and it hasn't all been smooth sailing? Perhaps those sailing with you haven't heeded your warning. Even though you're no rookie, you're no novice, you're a perceiver, you're experienced, you're godly. Perhaps those sailing with you haven't heeded your warning. The nevertheless spirit. But the Lord has been with you. And he's used you in the tempest and in the storm. He's made you a bearer of hope and courage. A means of life. He's given you a word. He's given you his word and the assurance that the journey will be realized. And now, here you are on a certain island. A certain island called Malta. Acts 28, 1 and 2. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. A warm welcome, unusual kindness, island people in need of ministry. The island natives, these barbarians, this certain island, the islanders kindle a fire and make them all welcome. Rain was falling, it was cold. Ah, but the warmth of this fire. Paul tends to the fire, gathering a bundle of sticks, and he lays them on the fire, and suddenly a viper comes out of the heat and fastens on Paul's hand. Verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Oh, Paul the apostle. Paul the prisoner. Paul, the shipwrecked one, amongst the shipwrecked, the other shipwrecked ones, and so too these islanders, shipwrecked ones. A viper on the hand. A snake. That snake. A snake out from the heat. Verse 4, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Paul just shakes the creature off into the fire and suffers no harm. They were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. We read 5 and 6, he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he should swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. You know, don't be surprised when a shipwrecked on a certain island turns into an opportunity for ministry. We're there. Don't be surprised when a shipwrecked on a certain island is in fact an opportunity for ministry. Who wants shipwreck? Not a dinner call. Who wants to be shipwrecked? You know, men like Paul don't mind. A door. An opportunity. The provision for ministry. God's higher purpose in it all, even if not planned. Ministry on Malta. Wow. This certain island, here it is, Acts 28:7-10. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. I mean, what a gift. What a gift for this certain island. A shipwreck. A shipwrecked man. You know, it appears they were on this island for 3 months. Oh, the land flowed with honey as Paul ministered to the shipwrecked islanders. The gospel, prayers, healings, miracles, shake off the viper. You know, if that ship wouldn't have run aground on that certain island, this ministry would have never happened. Think about it. Want shipwreck? God, take us where you need us. Worship ministry, please come. Well, let's get them to Rome after all. Verses 11 to 16. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. You say, shipwrecked? You know, there's another ship, don't worry. God gets us where he needs us. Landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled round and reached Rhegium. After one day, the south wind blew. And the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went out toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. I wonder if that soldier was ministered to, you know, witnessing it all, seeing it all. There was no doubt Paul would make it to Rome. No doubt. And you know, when he got to Rome, this man that had appealed to Caesar begins ministry in Rome. Always looking for an opportunity. Paul knew why he was a prisoner. Not because men wanted him one. His own words, verse 20, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. You know, it sure helps to know what you're bound for. It sure helps to know who you are bound for. It sure helps to know whom you are bound for. It sure helps to know whom you are bound to. Verses 23 to 31. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. And some were persuaded by the things that were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed. And after Paul had said one word, the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Ministry on the water. Ministry on Malta. Ministry in Rome. In Rome, some believed. The shipwrecked rescued. In Rome, some disbelieved. The shipwrecked and a nevertheless spirit cementing their faith. How is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us today? To each one of us. Though not Paul, yet like Paul? Or is there an Agrippa in the house that needs to be gripped by the message? Agrippa, let it grip you. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. Oh, maybe you've come here before. You've heard the good news before. You've heard the gospel message before. You've heard that there's salvation, and you're like, yeah, you almost persuade me. I'll come back another time. Don't ward off the weapon, the sword, the blow. Don't evade this call with a clever answer. Any today with the nevertheless spirit, it's time to throw it overboard. Drown that spirit. Any today out at sea having lost all hope because of a nevertheless spirit when one wise warned against the voyage? Well, hear the voice today. Take heart. Take courage. Any islanders in church today? Any ships need run aground today that there be safety, unusual kindness, and ministry? Receive the ministry on Malta, as sweet as honey. And to all those in Rome, receive the preaching of the kingdom of God and the teaching of the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Who wants shipwreck? In fact, it was a dinner call when I was growing up. An old recipe out of a church cookbook. Who wants shipwreck? Wasn't my favorite, sorry, Mom. But if it was good enough for Paul, put some on my plate. If it means ministry, if it means opportunity, if it means prayer and healing and miracles, if it means preaching, if it means teaching that which concerns Jesus, if it means rescuing the shipwrecked, if it means courage and strength for others on the waters before we run aground, if it means some persuaded could have been set free. But Rome needed help. Rome needs help. Rome needs help. It needs a witness, a gospel prisoner. The text read, shipwrecked? Maybe we all are at times. At least we are not marooned. Stand in the house of the Lord. God use us. God lead us. If you'd like prayer today, please feel free to come. We're just going to lift up this chorus and